Glad to take your Bible, John chapter 17. Now our verses this morning are verses 17 to the end, verse 26. Now as I've indicated already, this is certainly a wonderful chapter. It's one of those places where you can find several times in the Bible where God the Son speaks to God the Father. And of course here is God the Son in all his humility speaking to God the Father in prayer. And that in itself is marvellous. Perhaps you've seen, as you've been travelling around, the British telecom man beside a green cabinet which is beside the road. And if you look carefully, you look inside the doors and there's all these wires, thousands of them, you know, and you think, well, I hope he gets them in the right place. You know, it seems just a maze to you, you know. Just say, how do they know what place to put these wires in? And you think to yourself, well, let's hope he gets it sorted out quite well. You know, when you come to John chapter 17, there's so many themes and so many strands of thinking and so many insights into what the Lord is praying. You begin to sense, especially if you're a preacher, you say to yourself, how can I give a good exposition of this chapter? Because there's so many great themes to follow. But we have to remember this. God's thoughts are much, much higher than our thoughts. And Christ's prayer is far greater than any prayers of our own. So we come to this great chapter. And I want to just emphasize to you, you thought last week about Christ's prayer, that these disciples might be kept, indeed kept in a wicked world. They had a mission to accomplish, and Christ's prayer was them that they might be kept. Now this morning I want to think about that Christ's prayer for them is that they might be sanctified. So I have a text, and you can guess which one it is, verse 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ prays to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now there are two parts to our text. The first part is a supplication of God the Son to God the Father, sanctify them. Not just the apostles, but as we learn from verse 20, he's praying not only for those who were with him at that moment, but all those who would believe in all ages. Christ is praying that they might, he might sanctify them. And then it says, through thy word. So it is a supplication, it's a prayer, it's an intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his believers. The second part of the text is a statement, and it's a wonderful statement. Thy word is truth. Now that's a tremendous statement. Now book after book has been written on theology about the inspiration of the word of God. But Jesus just says, thy word, referring to the whole canon, the whole of the Bible, thy word is truth. And that's a wonderful, wonderful statement. Now I've got three little things to say. They're quite simple. I'm going to say something about the Saviour. And then I'm going to say something about the word sanctify. And then I'm going to speak to you finally about the Scriptures. So three very simple things to speak about. Something about the Saviour. Now, I wrote this on Thursday. In this nice sunny weather, it's changed slightly today. Well, when the sun is shining, your body casts a shadow. Depending on the time of day, it might be a short shadow, it might be a long shadow. But your body casts a shadow, depending on the time of the day. If I was to meet you in the street and come along, I wouldn't speak to your shadow, would I? I would speak to you. Your shadow is not important. But the shadow is a perfect image of your body. Now, when we come to the Bible, the Old Testament, particularly the first five books, when we read about in Exodus and Leviticus, the Bible talks about them being a shadow. They're not the real thing, but they're pointing to something that will come in the future, which will be the real thing. But in Exodus and Leviticus, there is a shadow. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews puts it like this, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come." So in Exodus chapter 28, it talks about the high priest, Aaron the high priest. Now, he's not the real high priest. He's the shadow. But we can learn from the shadow, which will point us to the real high priest, the great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me tell you three things. Using the shadow to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and all his glorious person. Now, the ministry of the high priest in Exodus chapter 28, we are told they were to do three things. Number one, they were to teach the people. Number two, they were to intercede or pray for the people. And thirdly, they were to offer up sacrifice for the people. They were to take animals, and on behalf of the people, they were to offer up sacrifice to make atonement for sin. But that wasn't the real thing. It was but a shadow. What has the Lord Jesus Christ done in our chapters here? Chapters 13 to 16, he's taught the people. He's taught the disciples. In chapter 17, what is he doing? He's making intercession for the people. What does he do in chapter 19? He offers up, not an animal, but he offers up himself as an atonement for our sins. And that's what all the shadows were pointing to in the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes on behalf of his people an atonement. A sacrifice is made that our sins might be forgiven. He rises from the dead gloriously and ascends back into heaven. Now that's the first thing about the high priest. The second thing about the high priest is this. God designed all the garments that the high priest should wear in Exodus chapter 28. Moses, you've got to make it exactly like this. It had to be a perfect shadow of that which would come in the future. Now, I'm not going to go into all the garments, but God said, take two stones. On one stone, inscribe six names of the tribes of Israel. On the other stone, inscribe the other six names of the tribes of Israel, and you were to place them on the shoulders of the high priest. In Exodus chapter 28, it says, Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord. And when we think about shoulders, we think about strength, the strong man. Now this is wonderful. Now that's the shadow. What's the wonderful truth? The Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, he goes to the cross of Calvary on behalf of his people, everyone he knows by name, and he bears their sins, and he pays for their sins, and he says, I'm strong enough to bear your sin. What has John 17 been teaching us? I'm strong enough, the Lord Jesus Christ says, to keep you in this wicked world. I'm strong enough to bring you to glory. And this is wonderful. I don't know about you, but I often feel so weak, so pathetic, and so helpless. But isn't it wonderful we have a Saviour who is strong enough not only to bear our sins in the past, but to keep us until we reach glory. The third thing I want to say about the shadow is this. The high priest, Aaron, Exodus 28, he had what they call a breastplate. It's only a sort of a 9-inch square, but on that square there was 12 very valuable jewels. And under each jewel there was the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there's a lovely little phrase, it appears 3 times in Exodus 28. The breastplate shall be upon his heart. Now that's lovely. Not on his back, but where his heart is. And this is tremendous. Now remember, that's the shadow. There's something more wonderful. Jesus, when he prays, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It comes. Now, we don't know how he said the words, but we know this. It comes from a heart of love and affection for his people. Lord, Holy Father, righteous Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Now some of you know that lovely hymn, which was written by a lady. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. The great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives to plead for me. It goes on. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. My Saviour prays for me. What is he praying? Well, he is praying the whole of this prayer, the reflection of what he prayed in that upper room. And he is praying in particular what we're thinking about this morning. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So 3 things about the Saviour. Now I want to speak to you about this word sanctify. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now the word sanctify means to set apart. In the Bible, sometimes it's used to be make holy, to purify, to cleanse. We know that tremendous verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. And that's God's will for us. But we need to understand this word in its context. Now, if you look at verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, and for their sake I sanctify myself. Now the Lord Jesus, he didn't need to be made holy. He was holy. He didn't need to be purified. He was pure. He didn't need to be cleansed from his sins. He had no sins. So, what does this word mean? All that I've said to you in that first description of the word is true. But here is another aspect of that meaning of this word, and it means to consecrate. So when Jesus says, for their sake I sanctified myself, there was a moment in glory when he set himself apart to come into this world on a particular mission, with a particular aim, with a particular goal, and he would go to Calvary's cross, pay for his people's sins after he'd lived that wonderful life, pay for their sins, and rise again from the dead and go back to glory. He was consecrated to that mission. course, our modernist and liberal friends, they'll say all sorts of weird and wonderful things, but they won't get to the heart of why Jesus Christ came. He came to redeem a people to himself. Now, understanding that word consecrate, I want to now speak about it in the light of sanctification. Now, that sounds a big word. Don't worry, I'm going to be very simple. And when we talk about the word sanctification or sanctify, there are three different ways in the Bible that word is used. That's very simple, don't worry, you keep with me, you'll be okay. Number one, we talk about positional sanctification. That means that when we read the words of Christ, such as in verse 24, and this appears several times in his prayer, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Did you recognize those? They appear several times in this prayer. The Father has given the Son certain people. In other words, the Lord Jesus has come to draw those people which the Father has given to him to himself in this world. And this is wonderful. Here we are, the sons of Adam, a fallen race, in all our sin and our rebellion. But in his great providence and in his wonderful purposes, he chooses a people to himself, and Jesus Christ came particularly to die for them. Do you remember the children of Israel? They were in Egypt. And God says, I'm going to bring you out. And all the plagues came, but not one of those first nine plagues brought them out of Egypt. Take a lamb. Put it on the door lintel, on the doorposts. And your firstborn son will be safe. The blood will save them. And sure enough, the angel of death came through Egypt. All the firstborn of Egypt, they died. But all the firstborn sons of Israel, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And God says this, they shall be mine. Because I've redeemed them, they shall be mine. A bit later on, God said, instead of having the firstborn sons, I'll have all the tribe of Levi. And they will be consecrated to my service. They will be mine. And it was their job to set up the tabernacle, to do all the service of the tabernacle, to offer sacrifices, because they had been consecrated to the service of the Lord. That's a shadow. That's a shadow. Are you waiting? This is the real thing. My dear Christian friend, you are blood-bought. You're not your own. You're consecrated to the service of the Lord. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't die to buy half a life or just a life on Sundays. He died to buy the whole life. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You are consecrated to the service of God. That's positional sanctification. A lot more could be said about that, but we're going to move on. But then there is progressive sanctification. And that's what our verse is all about. Sanctify them through thy truth. The thought is, continually the word of God will sanctify the believer to greater consecration. Now, of course, this is the great theme of the epistles. The Apostle Paul says, I've not arrived yet, but I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews, 12 verse 1, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The thought of running the race. And then Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. His final words. He says, folk, you're going to go through some difficult times. But he says these final words. He says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like thinking about the crocodile. And I'm not talking about crocodile tears. The crocodile, from the moment it is born, it grows and grows and grows until its dying day. And that should be the Christian. Growing and growing until their dying day. And of course, that's the Christian life, isn't it? It's a series of milestones. When you were converted, you changed certain things in your life. You started reading the Bible. And the desire came to read more of your Bible. And to pray. And to attend church. To get involved in the service of God. And you wanted to be baptized. To declare that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were conscious around you there was a lost world needing the gospel. So you got involved in some sort of evangelism. And you just kept going on as a Christian. And that's the experience of the Christian. One milestone after another. One challenge after another. One wrestling match after another. As you go on. And you know, it's true. Now some of you, you've been to a gym. You might have been on the treadmill. Treadmill is one of those things where you walk and you walk, or you run and you run and you get nowhere. You've got the belt is moving around and you do all the business, you're walking, you're running. Now I'll tell you this. If you stop while the treadmill is running, guess what happens? You will go somewhere. You'll go flying backwards. And you might damage yourself. And you know, that is it. Now Spurgeon said something of great importance. He said, it may be hard going forward in the Christian life, but it's worse going backwards. And it is, my friends. The way of the backslider is hard. There's only one way in the Christian life, and it is forwards. Now, the wonder of the Lord's Prayer here in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, is tremendous. Now let's just think about how wonderful it is. As a believer, you have all the appetites of the flesh against you to be consecrated to the Lord. You have all the powers of hell against you to be consecrated to the Lord. You have a world that will distract you from being consecrated to the Lord. But you have a Saviour who is strong enough to carry you through this wicked world. You have a Saviour whose heart's affection are towards you and praise. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now, years ago, we used to sing a little chorus. I can't remember the rest of it. But it's the thought I want to leave with you. When it's this thought of progressive sanctification, going, growing on with the Lord, growing in the Lord, it went like this. The more I surrender to Jesus my Lord, the more of his fullness I know. And that's what the Bible actually teaches. The more you surrender to him, the more you are governed by the word of God, the more you are conformed to the word of God, the more of his fullness you know. That is progressive sanctification. And of course, the other one is perfect sanctification. A lovely verse, verse 24. They may behold my glory. One day, my dear Christian friends, folk, you are struggling. You know what it is to battle with sin. even though temptations and trials, remember this, one day you will arrive in glory. You'll be delivered from your sinful body, a sinful world, from the trials that Satan throws at you, and you will behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be seeing him through the pages of Scripture. You'll see him as he is. And the Bible says everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. So that's the second thing I want to say. The word sanctify. Now the third thing I want to say. And I want to say something about the Scriptures. Sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus makes this wonderful statement, thy word is truth. To put it so we all understand, if the Lord is going to have dealings in your life, he's going to do it through the Bible, which is truth, his truth. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer is to the Father. Father, as your believers read the word of God, would you please speak to them and sanctify them through the truth of thy word? Now please notice, it says sanctify them through truth. Not error. Not experience. Not music. Not drama. I could speak of a host of other things, but God sanctifies his people through the word of God, the Scriptures. Spurgeon said this about the Bible, when he's referring to thy word is truth, he said, it's absolute truth, it's essential truth, it's authoritative truth, it's undiluted truth, it's everlasting truth. And it is. From Genesis to Revelation. Now remember my young people's talk. That man, Anna and myself met this week. Oh, he loved arguing. But he didn't know the Lord. He knew his system of religion. But he didn't know the Lord. And this is the test. Whether you know the Lord or not. Truth. Truth. When you read the Bible, wonderfully the Lord will illuminate the great truths of salvation. He will show himself in all his glory, in all his wonderful person. All the wonderful doctrines of the Bible will come alive as you read the Scriptures. And you'll say, Lord, I want to consecrate my life to thee. You'll also discover this as you read the Scriptures. You will discover that you have a stubborn heart and it needs to be broken. You will discover you have a rebellious will and it needs to be submissive. You will discover that you have fleshly appetites which are in conflict to spiritual truth. And they need to be put to death. And your prayer will be, Lord, that I might be consecrated to the Lord. Now in the light of this verse, I want to speak to you just for a few moments in conclusion about personal reading of the Scriptures. Because that's what our verse is all about. Now, I could speak about the public preaching of the Word of God. Now, that's important, and that's in this verse. I could speak to you about family worship. That is in this verse. But I just want to emphasize the personal reading of Scripture. If you believe that what this verse is saying, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word truth, you come to this conclusion. If I am going to be consecrated, sanctified, if the Lord is going to work in my life, I need to be reading this book. For nearly 44 years, Anne, every day, has prepared a nice evening meal for me. I've done rather well on it, thank you. And it's been lovely. Now, if you ask me what I ate on the 24th of July, 1994, I wouldn't have a clue. 2006, not a clue. 2016, I wouldn't have a clue. All I know is this. It did me good. It did me good. Just think, if I'd neglected that evening meal, well, one, I might not be here today. If I did arrive, I might be just skin and bones and very, very unhealthy. But as you can see, I trust, it's done me good. I was glad, as a young Christian, someone taught me to have a regular quiet time. When I set aside a time to read the scriptures by myself and to pray. I've had that practice, Anna's had that practice as well, for nearly over 50 years. And those of us here as well have had that practice. And their testimony will be this, how blessed they have been. They may have had struggles. They may have had discipline problems getting to the Word of God. But they look back and they say, how glad we have been that we've had that practice of setting aside a regular time each day for the reading of Scripture. Now, I can't tell you what I read in 1996 or 2006 or 2016. All I know is this. It did me good. It did me good. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for his people, that they might be sanctified by the Word of God. Now, if you're going to be sanctified, you need to come to the Word of God in a regular way. Now, I've got an important question. I'm not really going to answer it, but I ask it. Why is the Church of Jesus Christ today in such an unhealthy condition? Why has worldliness flooded in like it never has done before? Why are there errors now promoted in the name of evangelicalism, which never once were promoted before? Why is there division? Why are there is a lack of those pursuing holiness? Why? I read in my quiet time this morning some challenging words. Hosea. There is no truth, nor mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Is it because we have neglected the discipline of private, personal reading, meditation, and study of the Bible itself? Our lives are filled up with so many other things. But in the light of our verse, what is the most important thing? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, can I just say, I must come to a conclusion. This affects everything else in our lives. If you look at verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so, so I also send them into the world. In other words, this is talking about evangelism. This is talking about taking the gospel to others. They are sent into the world. Now, listen to Spurgeon. You need to hold on to your seats for this. Mr. Spurgeon's really, you know, got his gun popping here. He says this. An unsanctified preacher is an unsent preacher. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? And I think he's right. If the preacher hasn't got a word which is burning in their hearts, and the Spirit of God with them. We do not want a lecture which is dry and dull. We want God to speak to us through the word of God. Listen to Mr. Spurgeon again. An unholy missionary is a pest to the tribe he visits. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? That's Mr. Spurgeon. Listen to this one. An unholy Sunday school teacher is an injury rather than a blessing to the class he conducts. Holiness is an essential qualification to a person's fitness to be used of the Lord. So it is sanctified people that are sent, consecrated people that are sent, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. That's what we used to sing. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. But there's a second thing I want to highlight, and I must be through. It talks about our unity with others. Verse 21, 22 and 23 has this word, one. That they may be one. It also appears earlier on in this prayer. The great unity the Lord Jesus Christ prays for amongst his people. And this week I heard of two churches that were having difficulties. There was disunity. People had left. And you have to ask the question, what's happening? The issue must be this. If people see what the Lord is praying for his people, they should be praying themselves, Lord, would you please sanctify me through thy word? Perhaps it's me who's wrong. Perhaps your word needs to correct me. Perhaps you need to send affliction so it drives me to the word of God that I might be sorted out. Luther used to say, I've learned everything when I've been afflicted and it's driven me to the word of God and I've learnt my best lessons then. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I conclude. Now, I was going to say this in conclusion, folk. Perhaps we need to be reading our Bibles more. But then I thought, hang on, I'm missing the point and the power of what this text is saying. At this moment in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for his people. And if this little message this morning stirs someone, the Lord's prayer would be answered. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Shall we pray? Our gracious God in heaven, we bow in thy presence. Oh, how we thank you for the living word of God. How we thank you for God the Holy Spirit who takes this word to speak to our hearts. And Lord, many of us feel so shallow, so weak. Sometimes, Lord, we haven't taken your word seriously. And perhaps a text like this has just stirred us again to teach us the importance of the Bible, the importance of personal Bible reading, the importance of being under the ministry of the Word of God. And so, our gracious God, we do pray that there might be a people more consecrated, more separated, more sanctified as a result of our gathering. Lord, this morning we pray. Do bless us each one. You know our struggles. You know our difficulties. You know our battles. But, oh, our gracious God, may you come with love and break down every barrier, that we might indeed be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and submissive to thy precious word, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we can make our final hymn of prayer. 677. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. It told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. 677. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet abiding fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us now and until our Lord Jesus Christ comes in glory. Amen.